Hello and welcome to the Neo Gamer Podcast, our weekly podcast devoted to all things gaming. This is actually our 21st episode. As we are recording this, it is Tuesday, May 29th. I'm John Callahan, and with us as always is Tim, who is handling both our audio and video feeds. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, it's cold again, but I guess I'll manage.
All right. I'm sure you will. And yes, you do hear right. We are finally joined back after a too long absence from Larry Cooney. How you doing, Larry?
Good, guys. Very happy to be back. Sorry I had to miss the last 2 weeks, but had some stuff I had to take care of.
No problem, Larry. We're more than happy to have you back. We definitely missed you, and we're very happy to have you back on our podcast discussing games, and we have actually got quite a lot to talk about. Only 1 week away from E3 2012, the biggest event in the gaming industry. I will be jetting my way down to Los Angeles on Saturday, and the pre-E3 press events. I actually got a press event that is on Sunday, believe it or not, for some Sweden gaming thing that's promising free food. So I'm going to that.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm going to that, and then the big events on the Monday, June 4th, are four press events. First on Microsoft, which will be held, I think, at noon on Eastern Time on Monday, and then followed by EA and Ubisoft's press conferences, and then finally concluding with Sony's E3 press conference. And then Tuesday, the day the E3 doors actually open, we will get to hear Nintendo's presentation and see, hopefully, the Wii U finally shown for the truly show. I mean, they kind of showed it a little bit last year, but it was kind of a weak presentation, so hopefully they'll show a lot more at E3 this time. And then at 12 o'clock Pacific time, they will open up E3's doors, and I will be hitting the exhibit hall. And then we'll be doing a live podcast from the show floor at our same time, same regular time, 7 o'clock Eastern time. That's 4 p.m. Pacific at E3, or I'll be talking with Tim and Larry from the E3 Convention Center.
Very nice. So
we're going to be have a lot to talk about. I wanted to quickly talk before we talk about E3 stuff. I wanted to talk about what's happened with 38 Studios, which Tim and I have been talking about for the past couple of weeks. It's not looking good for the studio. Late last week, the company behind the Kingdoms of Alamar Reckoning RPG laid off all of its employees, nearly 400 people in Maryland and Rhode Island. And the owner of the founder of the studio, Boston Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling, is now basically saying it's all Rhode Island's fault. Yes, it's Rhode Island, which gave the studio $75 million loan to relocate their headquarters to Rhode Island 2 years ago. And now Curt Schilling is saying that Rhode Island, didn't fail to give them tax breaks, and also their governor made statements that scared off a possible publisher for a sequel to Kingdom of Alamar Reckoning and all that. It's a mess. It's a total and complete. It's one of the biggest messes I can remember seeing in gaming, to be quite honest.
Yeah, does Curt Schilling even know how to run a company? I mean, come on, rather than blaming your own studio, actually blaming the state. I mean, that's kind of a low move, to be honest.
Yeah, it was such a dickhead email that he sent out too when he laid everyone off. I don't know if you guys talked about that last week, but a horrible email. I read it and I was in total disgust. It was disgusting. Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he was just basically, your services are no longer required. You know, it was pretty impersonal, and you know, there was no hint of any remorse or anything. You're saying you're gone. So
yeah, It was like incredibly impersonal. It's, as of today, we no longer have money. Your services are no longer needed. Like, it was something along those lines. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I'm sure that Curt Schilling's an okay guy. I don't have any animosity towards him. But at the same time, he has really handled this whole situation extremely poorly. Extremely poorly. And pointing the blame at a government entity which has given him money to develop an MMO game is and then saying oh, it's all Rhode Island's fault for the fact that our studio got shut down. No, it's not Rhode Island's fault. They gave you money. You're supposed to manage your money. I mean, I'm no businessman. I don't pretend to be a businessman, but I pay my bills, and I have a kind of a budget that I'm supposed to keep up with in my own household. And the first thing you're supposed to do when managing a household is you don't spend money that you don't have. And then it looks like exactly what these people did. I mean, Curt Schilling said that he had $50 million of his own money into the company, and that may be true, but that makes it even worse because he had $50 million to help develop a game development company. That's a lot of money, and he didn't have to create a huge, massive MMO style game right from the get-go. He could have started small, hired a few dozen game developers to create a smaller game project, come out first with the game relatively quickly and start, a reputation. But that's not what he did. He decided to use, to use a baseball term, he decided to hit one into the bleachers, and instead he hit a pop flop by ball that was easily catched.
Yeah, and also he got a $75 million loan, yet he is asking for tax breaks. I mean, seriously, right. You've already got $75 million. What is the government supposed to, say that you don't have to pay tax when you've already got all that money from the government? I mean, it's like more free money. I mean, it's just pretty unacceptable. Really unacceptable.
Yeah, what do you think, Larry?
No, I agree with everything you guys have said so far. It's just, he obviously, and, like you said, you don't know him, John, but I have historically heard that he's kind of not the nicest of guys, and he does have a big head, and it's been pretty well documented that he's not the nicest of people. And again, going back to that email, I think it just kind of proves it. But, you made a great point as well. He did not have to, go all out if he really wanted to get into the world of video games. And he had 15 of his own money. You would think that someone would approach that logically and say, let me make a game for $5 million and see how it does. See if I could even handle this. But instead, he goes all out. And, it's just a shame. I feel sorry for the people that were involved with the studio now that lost their jobs. But, I know the video gaming community really rallied around them, and people were tweeting back and forth, job openings and all that. So that's awesome. That's a good display of when, things do go right. But it's overall a sad story.
It's a lot more than what Curt Schilling has done. I mean, this is the guy, like I said, who has put in $50 million supposedly of his own money into developing this company. And yet, here's another kicker. Supposedly, some of the people who moved to Rhode Island to join 38 Studios, they were told that their houses at their former homes had been sold by 38 Studios. And now they found out, no, they had not been sold. Their 38 Studios didn't do that. And they're now stuck with two mortgages, the home that they thought they had sold and the home that they have now. I mean, that's bordering on fraud.
Yeah.
I don't know all the. I mean, it's hard to say all the circumstances are, but it just sounds pretty shady to me to do that sort of thing to people who are supposed to support. And and Curt Schilling has also posted up Twitter messages and Facebook messages saying these are a great bunch of guys and really support them and all that stuff. He this whole situation is his fault and his fault alone. I guess a little bit of blame can be put to the state of Rhode Island for giving him $75 million in the first place. But they shouldn't have done that. I mean, it's pretty clear from the outset that that was a foolish financial investment on their part. But he blew through all of this money, all of his own money, and now a bunch of taxpayers' money. It wouldn't have been quite so bad if it was just his money, but he blew through money that was given to by taxpayers who had nothing to do with this. And now those taxpayers are going to likely be holed up for a long time trying to pay that back. And I don't think he had, and the statements that he made today just shows he has no remorse at all. No remorse. He doesn't care about what he did. You know, he doesn't care about all the consequences of his actions. It's all somebody else's fault, and that's what really makes me upset. We've seen businesses, you know, fold before. And we've seen game developers shut down because of lack of funds, and you know it's very sad when that happens. But when someone else points to blame on this sort of thing, especially points to blame at a government which has given them all this money already, that's wrong. That's just me.
Yeah,
and also you have to sort of think about EA Games. I mean, they spent all that money on the IP Kingdoms of Amalur. And what's that? What's going to happen to that series now? I mean, that was their main developer for the first game, and I hear it got good reviews, and it was on my list of games to play, and I think I'll still do that. But you know, what's going to happen to the future of that series? I mean, they're going to have to find a different development studio, and it might be, you know, completely different. That might off-put fans, so it's really disappointing from a gamer's perspective as well, not just from you know, the whole mess that they've caused for themselves.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, the Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning was owned by 38 Studios, so EA doesn't have much in the way of investment on that. I think their investment was basically done with publishing the first game, and I think, you know, the rumors are that EA passed on making the sequel, and they were looking to get somebody else to publish the sequel. You know, but be that as it may, it just. You know, as I said, we've seen game companies fold before, and again, it's always sad, but this one seems to be particularly bad just because of the way it was handled, and especially the way that Kirk Schilling has handled it. He has not. My opinion of him has gone down. Again, Larry, you probably know more because you live closer to where, you know, Kirk Schilling, you know, operates and is known better. But it's sad, and I actually met Mr. Schilling a few years ago, you know, at a Sony Online press event, and you know, he, like I said, he seemed to be a nice guy. You know, he shook my hand. He actually knew who I was from previous articles that I've written about, you know, gaming. So at that time he seemed like a nice guy, but. His handling of this whole situation has been terrible, and every statement he makes, he keeps digging his grave more and more. So
yeah.
So anyway, the good thing is that the game industry has kind of rallied behind the 38 Studios people who have been displaced, setting up, you know, a list of openings for game developers. And it looks like at least some of the people at 38 Studios will be able to get some jobs. So there's that. But again, it's this whole situation has kind of it could really, you know, put a damper on things like tax credits for other states. You know, other states have tax credits for games and other interactive media, and this example may shut those things down. You know, it's very possible.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
and hopefully the rest of the video game industry never does business with Kurt Schilling again, which I imagine is pretty much a given.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much done. It's a shame. Speaking of games, the Carmageddon Kickstarter campaign got fully funded over the weekend. It had a $400,000 goal, and they exceeded it with 10 days to spare.
Not bad.
There's that. You know, and I'm actually looking at the page right now to see how much money they've actually made. $449,000, so close to $450, close to $50,000 extra in just 2 days. So it looks like they're going to be have plenty of stuff to do with make that. And I'm pretty sure that the Stainless Games, the guys that are going to be doing it, are going to be, you know, stick with their budget and not. Hopefully not screw up their Kickstarter backers like 38 Studios screwed up their employees. But I'm actually looking forward to playing Carmageddon. I mean, I played the original game, and, you know, it's definitely a more and more controversial game that came out in the 1990s. But it was a lot of fun. And if you like, you know, running over people and seeing their, you know, body parts splat all over a windshield, then I think we'll probably enjoy this. So
yeah, who doesn't like that?
Who doesn't like that?
Yeah, it's part of the whole fun of Grand Theft Auto as well, so...
Yeah, exactly. I thought we'd take the rest of the time to kind of look... to try to look ahead to E3 2012, since I'm going to be going there next week. First of all, perhaps the biggest news will be Nintendo's full reveal of the Wii U console. As I said, they kind of revealed it a little bit. At E3 2011, you know, they kind of showed some demos of the tablet controller and how that's supposed to work. But we'll probably actually see some proper games, you know, a Mario game, hopefully, or a Zelda game, or perhaps some other game from the Nintendo franchise will be shown. And one thing I actually thought was kind of cool was Gearbox Software is porting Aliens Colonial Marines for the Wii U, and they're saying that the developer is going to use that tablet controller to kind of do that motion tracker thing. You remember seeing that in the original movie Aliens, where they had the motion tracker that can sense the things? You'll be able to use that in have that same kind of interface with the Wii U tablet controller in Colonial Marines, which I think is actually kind of a cool little way to handle that.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully they'll get to show that at E3 next week. That should be kind of cool.
Yeah, they definitely need some good titles for the system. Because the Wii sort of died away with that. That it really only had first party titles that were any good. So
yeah,
really need to get up this time and start making, you know, really good third party titles that will, you know, entice people to buy it over, you know, the Xbox 360 or the next generation consoles.
Yep, exactly. One thing that will be interesting to see is the graphical looks of the games. Apparently, Epic Games has already confirmed that the Wii U won't be able to run games on Unreal Engine 4. It'll be able to run Unreal Engine 3 games, fine, but don't, you know, the special effects that they're putting into Unreal Engine 4, you know, the hardware inside the Wii U won't be able to handle it, which I think says a lot about what the hardware inside the Wii U is going to be. I mean, it's going to be maybe a little bit better maybe than the Xbox 360 or the PS3, but not much more. What do you guys think?
It's a bit disappointing, to be honest, for the next generation of consoles. You'd think that they'd try and make it at least heaps better.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wii U...
We've waited a long time.
Yeah, I mean, when the Wii U came out, I mean, everyone knew the graphics weren't exactly, you know, amazing, but it wasn't that bad at the time. But if they come out and do that again, like, even if it looks good now, in like 3 or 4 years, when the Xbox 360 and PS3 have trumped them, it's not going to be as good, and that's going to, you know, be a major off-putting factor for new console buyers. So.
Yep. What do you think, Larry?
I kind of disagree with both of you, and here's why. I will say why I do. The Wii is the top-selling console for a reason. It's the console that appeals to families and kids. And I think just because of the Nintendo name, the Wii U will probably be the same. So we're talking people that don't really know good graphics and, you know, don't really care at the end of the day. So while people like us care, I'm not sure if the target audience that purchases Wiis really do. You know, don't get me wrong, I own a Wii. I bought one at launch because I was excited about it initially. So, you know, obviously they got some sales from hardcore gamers as well, but I think the people still playing it and the people looking most forward to it are probably more what I would call casual gamers almost. So, I don't know. I think, you know, obviously it's disappointing to us, the people that know, but I think they'll probably do all right, even if it is as weak as potential reports are saying. So I guess we'll see. But, you know, I personally have a – I want to finally see some good games in 3D because I've come to admit it just it isn't happening this generation. The consoles just don't have enough graphical power. And so I want these consoles to be beasts just so they could output the, you know, 1080p true 3D. So, you know, that's what I hope. But we'll see. Nintendo's gig has never been graphics. And it all goes to what Tim was saying. If they do focus on the third-party stuff, they need the graphics. They're going to need it to compete. But if they kind of do what they've always done and just have the strong first-party titles, you know, I mean, I think a really good-looking Mario is still going to sell regardless. So it'll be interesting. I think a lot of people are making a big deal about it, but at the end of the day, if I had to put my money on it, I'd say they're probably going to wind up just fine, you know?
Well, we'll see. I think one of the problems is that we don't know exactly what the Nintendo price point is for the Wii U. When the Wii came out, it was $199, which undercut both the PS3 and the Xbox 360 by a lot, and that's what caused a lot of people to pick up the original Wii. We don't know what the cost for the Wii U is going to be. And I think probably the problem is that tablet controller is going to be a lot more expensive to make than a regular game controller.
Especially for people who want more than one controller.
Yeah.
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 That's going to suck to buy those.
So and Nintendo has already said they're not going to announce any pricing or details of the Wii U at E3. So we're probably going to have to wait a little while to find out what the price point is going to be. But I think it's probably not going to be $199.
No, certainly not.
I don't think it's going to make it, especially with that tablet controller. And that's going to affect sales immediately, especially if they don't have a strong game lineup. I mean, ultimately, as you said, Larry, it's going to be the game lineup that's going to win this race. And you seem to be fairly confident that Nintendo is going to win this. I'm not so sure. I think that Nintendo is kind of seen as even old-fashioned, even by, you know, mainstream gamers, you know, casual gamers. I think, you know, Microsoft's Xbox 360, you can get that for $199. You know, even the PS3 can be bought for much lower than it was originally. So, you know, I think that Nintendo has kind of lost that advantage that it first had. And if it prices its Wii U anything higher than $199, then it's probably not going to fly off the shelves like the original Wii did.
Especially with the Kinect. I mean, that's a really good thing for casual gamers. I mean, the games aren't exactly great by a hardcore gamer's perspective, but you can get fun family games with it. And I think that the versatility, is that a word? I don't remember.
Sure. Yep. It is. Yeah. You got
the versatility of the Xbox 360 in providing both the hardcore gamers market with things like Call of Duty, and then you can add on your Kinect and get the family fun game sort of thing as well. And then you get all your entertainment. So it sort of makes it a really good console right now for people who want that sort of market. And it wasn't provided originally when the Xbox 360 came out. I mean, there was no Kinect. So I think that's why a lot of people went for the Wii. But now I think people see that there's the Kinect. You don't need a controller. You know, it'd be really fun for the kids to do that sort of, you know, like the PlayStation Eye sort of thing, but with more capabilities now. So I think that's a huge selling point for the Xbox 360 currently. So you have to wait and see how that goes for the next generation.
I agree with everything you said except for one point. The games on Kinect suck. Even if you're not a hardcore gamer, and that's where Nintendo, has Microsoft beat. They have the names, they have the Marios, they have the Zeldas. Where Kinect, what do they have? They the biggest name title, right? Star Wars, maybe.
That's
you can
terrible.
Make the argument, right?
Yeah.
You know,
the Dance Central games are actually pretty good.
They're huge.
They're huge.
Out of all of those would have to be the best. But I mean, some of the other ones, yeah, I do agree they're not that good. But I guess if they sort of focus on that, you know, including the Kinect, which they're trying to do, if they really knuckle down and come up with a really, like, an awesome concept that really takes, you know, takes the market by storm, I think they will outsell the Wii U by loads with their next generation console.
That's a fair point. Yep.
Yep.
We'll see.
It's gonna be. Yeah, we'll definitely get to see. Well, and like I said, we'll have more information about that in a week from today. Over at Sony, Sony has already said we're not going to show anything of a next gen PlayStation console at E3 2012. So they're probably going to be announcing other stuff. One of the things that I think is kind of interesting is that the rumors are that Sony is going to announce a cloud based streaming game service for the PlayStation, either for maybe the PS3 or for the Vita, and they've gotten like one of the two big streaming game companies online, either online or Gagaki, however you pronounce it, to partner up with them. I think this is actually a pretty cool thing if this is true, and I think that it would certainly expand that kind of a gaming experience to more people, because right now it's kind of limited to the PC and that's basically it. But if you have a cloud gaming experience for all those tens of millions of PlayStation consoles, you know, that automatically will open that market up to a new audience of gamers. So what do you guys think?
I also heard the rumor on that is it might be to do the PS1, PS2 full game libraries, which that'd be pretty insane. Cause that's a pretty deep back catalog, you know what I mean? And I know there's a lot of people that would want to play a lot of different games from that. So, I mean, I think if that happens, it's a pretty big move. It will definitely get people more interested in Sony than they already have been, you know, because I know a lot of people complained that, you know, the first fat PS3 included backwards compatibility and then they got rid of it. So, you know, who knows if this happens, it'd be pretty cool. And I have my Vita. So if they somehow bring it to the Vita as well, that'd be really cool. So, yeah, I'm real curious to see what happens with this. Definitely.
Yeah. What you actually mentioned there with the PlayStation 2 titles, I think when I was thinking on live, I was thinking, you know, it's great for tablets and PCs where the capabilities of the machine aren't up to scratch with the game. So, you know, you can get a much higher quality game than your PC could actually process. So I was thinking, what are they going to do with the PS3 there? I mean, what games are they going to bring that the PS3 can't play? But then you mentioned PS2, it all clicked, and I was like, that's going to be great if they do that. And yeah, I guess it'll make up for all those people that were really pissed when they decided to get rid of the backwards compatibility in the original console.
Yeah.
But I guess the only problem is, though, it does require you to have a decent internet connection. And it probably won't come to Australia.
Not for a while, anyway. I mean,
no, not for years.
That's the one thing about the cloud gaming thing is it will require a constant internet connection. And, you know,
a bad one. You need a decent one to stream the content to your console.
I agree. And again, infrastructure in the United States is pretty crappy. And, you know, I suppose we have a decent internet connection. You and I have problems downloading, you know, movies and files on my connection. You know, I can't imagine trying to, you know, stream a game on my console, you know, especially what's the deal with the PlayStation 3 and its download speeds? It's, you know, whenever I try to download a patch or a game on the PS3, it always seems to be a lot slower than it really should be. Is that do you guys get that same situation with your consoles?
I can't comment.
No,
on the PS3.
No, I don't. But I see so many people comment on it. I've never, once in a blue moon, it gets a little slow. But no, I've actually done tests where I've downloaded the same demo first on my PS3 and then on my Xbox, because this, as you can imagine, when both consoles first came out, it was a huge argument of fanboys of either side. Oh, the PSN sucks, and I just never saw it. I guess I'm incredibly fortunate, but when I did I did a couple of tests of a couple of different demos, and in some cases, it actually came in faster on the PSN, believe it or not. So
really?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm somehow closer to a PSN server or something. I will say I configured my router a while back and opened up some ports that I read online helped with the PSN, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it, because I did do the same thing for my Xbox as well. So but you're definitely, I would say you're the majority by far. I mean, especially it seems like people in Europe, especially, the PSN speeds are atrocious for them. So yeah, you're right. If they're introducing something like this and their infrastructure, people already complain about it immensely, they need to step it up.
Yeah, yep, I mean,
I agree.
Especially over here, if they have the servers literally anywhere international except for, say, China, then the speeds are just going to be, the latency with the pings and all that sort of stuff is going to be so terrible that it's just going to make playing those games just unpleasant. I mean, gaming with anyone outside our region is just atrociously slow, so I can't imagine how bad it's going to be playing a single-player game like that. So if they're going to bring it here, they've got to get servers in the actual country that they're making the service. Otherwise, it's just not going to work at all.
I agree. So that should be interesting. And of course, they're supposed to announce, they may announce some new improvements to the PlayStation Plus service, which I've never signed up for. You know, I have free multiplayer gaming, and I can access other free stuff on PSN. Why would I? You know, that doesn't. You know, I'm sure Sony would say, "Oh, you get a lot of value if you sign up to PlayStation Plus." But I never really saw it myself.
You absolutely do. I'm a proud member.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll try that out. But they're supposed to be improving things. There are rumors that you'll be able to get, you know, download, you know, not just small games for free for PlayStation Plus, but actual full retail games for free on the PlayStation Plus.
They've already started doing that. They gave away Far Cry 2, Need for Speed Shift 2. They just gave away Trine 2 to PlayStation Plus, and that game was only...
Okay.
That game only came out around December, so it's actually a really good deal, PlayStation Plus. And one of my favorite things is you get automatic updates. So it automatically detects whatever games I have installed on my system and downloads it at whatever time I tell it to. So I tell it to check like 3 o'clock every night. So 3 o'clock in the morning, it goes and checks, grabs whatever updates I need, including software updates, like system updates.
Sweet.
Yeah, and next time I powered it up, boom, everything's installed. It's kind of nice, actually.
Cool, excellent. I'll pony up the $50 to get that. It's still $50, right? For a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I want to get. None of this monthly stuff. That's the kiss of death there. So there's that. And then Microsoft's going to be with the first of the three console people to hold their press conference. They'll probably show a lot of games. They'll probably show Halo 4. They'll probably show Call of Duty Black Ops 2. They'll probably show more of the new Forza Horizon game. Probably show more of that Fable game, some other stuff that they have. I'm hoping that they'll show that Rise game that they've shown for two E3s straight, and I hope they actually, you know, show that again. If they don't, there's obviously something going on there that we don't know about.
Yeah, I'm always excited by Crytek stuff. Always want to see what they're coming up with.
Yep. They actually had Microsoft actually updated their official blog post where they announced that they've now sold 67 Xbox 360s worldwide so far since the launch, and they've sold 19 million of the Kinect devices, which is actually a pretty good attach rate for an add-on. Usually it's like something like 10-15%, so that's pretty good. So
yeah.
And they've hinted that they'll probably announce some more Xbox Live integration with Windows 8. which will be interesting.
I'm actually really looking forward to that.
We'll definitely, I think we'd almost certainly be hearing more about that, especially since we'll supposedly have the Windows 8 release preview, hopefully released by that time, at least officially. But aside from that, there's not really much excitement going on, I think, with Microsoft. I think they're kind of keeping a lot of stuff close to the vest right now. And, hopefully we'll get to see some more. And then, of course, Epic is supposed to be showing off their Unreal Engine 4 at E3 in public. They've shown it before to some select few developers and press people. But this is supposed to be their coming out party, and it should be kind of cool. Hopefully I'll get to see that up close and personal myself. And as far as terms of upcoming games for E3, I'm kind of disappointed that BioShock Infinite won't be shown. They've already announced that it won't be there. But we'll definitely get to see some other stuff. We'll get to see we'll get to see Halo 4. We'll get to see Call of Duty Black Ops 2. I'm trying to see what other games that we want to see. Borderlands 2, obviously. That's going to be a huge game. I definitely want to check that out. I'm curious to see what this Dust 514 game for the PS3 is going to be. The folks from the EVE Online guys,
EVE Online
CCP game, yeah, that should be kind of interesting. Yep. Crysis 3 should be shown at E3. Definitely looking forward to seeing that. Definitely looking forward to seeing Aliens Colonial Marines. That's been a long game. It's been a long time in coming. Kind of interesting to see what the new Tomb Raider is going to be. They kind of showed it a little bit last year, and then they kind of went into stealth modes. So there's a bunch of games actually. Far Cry 3. I really enjoyed Far Cry 2. I thought that was a great underrated game.
I thought that was really good too. Another one for me that I'm looking out for.
Yep. And of course, Resident Evil 6. How could I forget that? That should be pretty awesome. I'm supposed to be showing the Star Trek game. I saw the Star Trek game last year, the based on the J.J. Abrams, and I was actually pretty impressed with it, and hopefully they've had a long time to get that thing working and going, so we'll definitely get to check out that. So
there's that. I didn't know they're making a new Star Trek game. Hmm.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they showed it last year, a very early build. It's basically a co-op game where you can either play as Kirk or Spock in a third-person viewpoint. Medal of Honor Warfighter, that should be kind of interesting to see. The next SimCity game from EA could be interesting. Lost Planet 3. I really enjoyed the first game. Like, I didn't really care for the second one, so I'm anxious to see what the third one's going to be like. Any other games that you guys are thinking that you would like to see? Hopefully that will show up.
Just looking at the list. Not sure if you mentioned Halo 4, but
I did. I did actually.
All right, that's one.
Forza Horizon. The Fable, the Journey game. That title. What other stuff? A lot of stuff has, of course, been pushed back into 2013, like BioShock Infinite. So, unfortunately. So I probably won't get to see that game.
GTA 5.
Oh, yeah. That
won't be shown. I'll be very surprised. They might release some information. There may be a trailer. They probably won't show that live. So,
Agency. Rockstar's other game that just kind of.
Agent. Yeah. They announced that game a long time ago, and that
4 years ago, I think.
And that kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. They haven't mentioned that at all.
Well, the only reason The only reason I remembered it is because I've been playing Max Payne 3 lately. I've been going on the Rockstar Social Club website. And the Agent game is listed under games on their website. So obviously they plan on doing something with it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a lot of...
PlayStation
I thought you were referring...
exclusive. That's disappointing for Agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that may change, though. It's been a long time since that game was announced. So, I thought you were actually referring to The Agency, which was a Sony online shooter that was announced several years ago and then canceled last year.
Yeah, I got him confused.
Yeah, but anyway, so there's that. And, of course, a lot of other smaller games, PC smaller games. I've gotten a lot of appointments to see those. Arma 3 from Bohemia Interactive, I'm anxious to see at the show. Arma 2 has actually gotten a big boost lately because of the DayZ zombie mod. Yeah. A lot of people are buying Arma 2 just to get the DayZ mod. And supposedly the DayZ team is going to be at E3, so maybe I'll get a chance to chat with them.
Nice.
So yeah, a lot of stuff going on. It'll be interesting. I think the main thing I'm actually interested to see is what the industry itself thinks about E3 itself, because as we've talked about before, you know, the retail game industry has been hit with some hard times. Smaller and smaller games being sold in retail stores, even though we've seen a rise in digital download sales and subscriptions. You know, is that going to be enough to keep the game industry going? You know, I've heard some talk that perhaps E3 has perhaps, you know, maybe a little antiquated. We've already seen a couple of game publishers kind of either not coming at all, like Atari, or scaling back their efforts like THQ. So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, perhaps, you know, we'll get to the ESA, the Electronic Software Association, are the folks that handle it, so maybe I'll get a chance to chat with their president, you know, at the show and get to his thoughts on that. So anyway, so the Wii U is probably going to be the single biggest news story at E3.
Yeah, probably.
So we'll
see. You know what I always look forward to at E3 is those one or two things that we cannot predict, that no one knows about, that just come out of left field. That's
the whole fun thing about going to E3 is that sometimes you feel like you know what to expect when you get down there. And the nice thing about E3 is that there's always games down there that are never announced until the day of the show. And you go there and you see them and you go, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And that's happened every time I've been to E3. And it's pretty – and we'll – and I definitely think that's going to happen this year. But so anyway, I guess we will wrap this up for our 21st episode. Next week at this same time, I will be in Los Angeles at the LA Convention Center in downtown LA, talking with both of you and about what I'll see in my first few hours of E3. Obviously, I won't be able to see everything the first day, but just wanted to alert to our listeners who are listening to this podcast. Keep an eye out on Neo Gamer in the next week, week to 10 days. We're going to have a bunch of exclusive articles. You'll be seeing my picks for the top games of E3 2012 a couple days before E3 begins, along with some predictions. We're also going to have a bunch, and I mean a bunch, of exclusive interviews with some upcoming games. I think you'll be very, very happy to see that. I've been making a lot of preparations for the last few weeks to get a lot of exclusive interviews with a bunch of games, both big and small, from the major game publishers and small independent game developers. Of upcoming games. So definitely keep your eyes on that.
Very nice.
Your eyes on our keep your eyes on our sponsor, War Inc. Battlezone. The folks at Online Warmongers are going to be sponsoring our E3 2012 coverage. You'll be seeing their banner on all of our E3 stories. So please check out the banner and click on the banner and check out that game. It's a free first-person combination of a free and third-person shooter. You actually switch between the two. And it actually just launched, officially launched after several months in beta a few weeks ago. So check it out. And, like I said, please attend to our sponsors because they were very nice to help us with our E3 2012 coverage. So thank you to those guys. Anyway, I guess that's about it. Unless you guys have something else you want to bring up before we...
Nope. I'm good.
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Great.
I know last week I missed Tim's review of Max Payne 3. I just wanted to give my quick little mini review, and that is, so far, it is my game of the year.
All right. Excellent.
I'll agree with you on that one. It's very good.
Yeah, it's awesome. 1,157 headshots was my final headshot count in the single-player campaign. I just think that's awesome.
That's a lot.
What other game could you get 1,157 headshots in? I don't think any exist. At least not for myself. It's just such... And what's really funny is, I'll try not to speak too long. I just really do love it. You know, when I first played the first couple of chapters, I was kind of not sure about things. But then I wound up switching the control scheme and reversing the shoulder buttons and the trigger. And it was like it all just clicked. And I just got into such a groove. And I just felt like a killing machine, just a badass killing machine. And at the end of the day, I think that's why we play video games, to escape into an alternate reality. And it was just awesome. And I was actually killing myself on purpose. Like, Tim will know what I'm talking about. I could have easily gotten the last stand, but I decided not to because I thought to myself, oh, I could do that sequence much better. So I was literally dying on purpose just to redo things. And, I mean, that's a great video game to me. And believe it or not, I don't know if you checked out the multiplayer, Tim, and what you think, but I thought it was awful. Like, when I first checked it out, I was like, the first match I had, I went 2-29. It was like the worst start I've ever had to an online gaming experience. And my kill to death ratio was still awful. I think it's at like 0.7 now. But once it clicked, Gang Wars is some of the most fun I've had in a multiplayer game in a long time. Definitely check it out when you get a chance.
I've got to ask, do they do the slow motion stuff in the multiplayer? I mean, I can't see how it works. So is that in there?
Yes, it is. And I will tell you how it works. It only affects who's ever in your field of view. So it's really hard to explain. But if I activate my bullet time, only the people I see will also see my bullet time.
So they'll slow down too.
Yes, they will. If I could see them. So it adds such a unique twist to things. You really have to check it out. Because I was with you. I was like, how the hell are they going to pull this off so it's fair and it makes sense? And it's really hard to explain in action, but as long as you trigger it and you're like, you could see the person on your screen, they'll go into bullet time as well. So it's not like, no, they'll actually see you in bullet time, but they won't be in bullet time. It's really hard to explain, but it makes sense because them being in bullet time provides them a slight advantage, but not really. Like, I've actually, in multiplayer, I've killed people that have gone into bullet time on me, and I was not in bullet time. So it's actually very strategic when you decide to use it in multiplayer. So that just kind of adds another dimension. It's the multiplayer, it's really just a lot of fun. Like, there's... That's the only way to describe it. The Gang Wars, you have five different rounds, and it's like your basic team objective-based stuff, you know, defend these areas, capture this, kill this VIP, blah, blah, blah. But it all adds up, and the final round, they take So say if Team A won the first three rounds and the Team B won the second, the last, I mean the fourth round, Team A would have the advantage going into the death match. They'd be 50. I think they give 5 points for each round you win. So the end is an all out death match, but the team who won the most rounds up to that point get a head start as far as the kill count. So it's pretty fun. Each gang war winds up lasting probably about 20 minutes to a half hour, and it's five different objective-based game modes. So it's and the painkiller mode is actually fun, too. That's where one person's max pain, and the rest of the team basically hunts them. So, I'd say check it out. It's the multiplayer wound up being a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be, and the single player is literally, right now, my favorite game of the year. Like, hands down, so...
Excellent.
Just wanted to get that in there. Yeah.
No, very nice. And just a reminder to our listeners, PAX Payne 3 will be coming out for the PC on June 1st, Friday, June 1st. So if you want to if you own a PC and want to check it out, that's the way to go. Well, thank you, Larry. I think I'll be downloading that on my Steam account on Friday and get a few hours in before I get on my plane.
Yeah, enjoy. I'm actually thinking of picking it up again for the PC just because, you know, obviously I played the first two on the PC, and to me it's kind of where Max Payne belongs, and I can't even imagine how much of a lethal killing machine I would be with the mouse and keyboard. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Super,
you know, the precision
there.
Is right, exactly, and it's so, yeah, I'm heavily, chances are, because I did just get Ghost Recon and I want to move on, I'll wait. I will definitely pick up Max Payne 3 whenever it goes on sale on Steam, which will probably be by the holidays, so I without a doubt I'm going to pick it up and play it again on the PC. That's how much I enjoyed it.
Cool. Yep. All right, guys. Well, thank you again, Larry. We really appreciate you coming back to the podcast. We missed you. And,
thank you, guys.
Tim, thank you again for all of your work on the streaming and the audio end.
No worries.
Safe trip to you, John. If we don't talk to you before the next week's podcast, have a safe trip
excellent.
There.
Thank you very much. I will hopefully have a very safe trip. I always seem to have really bad luck on planes, you know. I won't go through all the issues I've had with, you know, with delays and mechanical failures on planes, but suffice to say I've had my fair share. So hopefully this will be one of the ones which will be relatively smooth.
Yep, but, absolutely.
Thank you again to all of you for listening to this, either streaming it live or listening to it recorded. Tim will be posting this recorded podcast very shortly. And as I said, the next time, the 22nd episode of the podcast next Tuesday will be at, I will be at E3 talking to Tim and Larry and giving some impressions about what's going to of the show. And like I said, keep reading NeoGamer for our E3 2012 coverage, our exclusive interviews, our exclusive hands-on previews of games that we'll have at the show, galleries. We'll have a live streaming of all the five major pre-E3 press conferences, so make sure you check out that. So we got I'll be a very, very busy camper for the next couple of weeks, actually. So for Larry and Tim, I'm John Callahan. Thank you for joining us, and please join us next week for our special E3 podcast. Until then, see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.